Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, I'm Taylor, the communication doctor, and welcome to Real Stories. I just want to say, I come from a family where people didn't always speak their truth. And I think it's so important to speak their truth. And every day I meet people who, because of society, are just walking with that facade because they feel that it is the way to be. And in Real Stories, I want people to know the real story behind the facade. And that is why I do what I do. Hello and welcome to Real Stories. I am your host, Tanya, the communication doctor, and I'm really excited today, just having a nice laugh actually just before I came on with the lovely Bart Skulterson. I want to say he's got such great energy, and I also want to say what he does. So he's a Back to Nature coach, and he also is a Wim Hof Academy instructor. Welcome, Bart.
Thank you very much for having me. Hi.
It's absolutely great to have you. I must say, as I said earlier, you have great energy. And that's really, really lovely to kind of interview someone with such energy. Now, I'm going to throw you straight in, ask you a little bit about why Back to Nature, a Back to Nature coach does, and take it from there. So what does a Back to Nature coach do?
Well, a Back to Nature coach, what I do is that I take people into nature to let them reconnect with their own nature, which in essence is one thing. We are nature, and we've lost connection with ourselves. And so by taking people into nature, I help them by guiding them, asking questions, doing breath work, coaching, to help them reconnect with themselves again and deal with whatever which challenges they are facing.
You know what, I think that's really powerful, and it's really interesting because just this morning we were just talking and I was just saying my tree, next door neighbour, my tree was actually cut down. It wasn't my next door neighbour cut down their tree, and it really affected me because in the morning I meditate and I hear the birds, but then that just proves the power of nature and how nature can contribute to us as people. So what's your experience?
I fully agree. It's like we are part of this bigger thing, Earth, we live on, and especially Western society likes to distance itself from nature, like that we are better, higher, or whatever than nature is. And it's not true. We are connected. We are an integral part of this nature. And by, for instance, the tree that's been cut down, you lose a part of that connection somehow. And I think we need to be aware of that. That with this connection we are creating in this Western fast-paced, volatile world, needs to change, because we're creating with that a lot of disbalance, also in our own systems, all like obesity, depression, all kinds of illnesses that arise. I think find their base in the disconnection we have as a human race amongst each other and with nature around us. So, and that's also one of the reasons why I started doing what I'm doing now.
You know what, that's really interesting. And I would say, you know, when I step back from that and you think about nature and you think how it affects us and how we connect, I feel that sometimes when you disconnect, it can create, this is just my feeling, but I'd be interested to hear what you say, it can sometimes create this feeling of, because I think in the Western world, it's greed that takes over. So it's almost that like there's so much things at our hands that we don't sometimes connect with the simple things like the nature that's around us. Yeah. I mean, I live in a city, so that's hard enough. I do find that hard. I love the city, but I also love to go out sometimes to the countryside. And I just always find parks. I know all the parks that are near me, and I visit them regularly because that's really important for me to even go for a walk at some part of the day every day. Now, and that's just kind of happened. That's not how I've always been, but I find that in the last 2 or 3 years, I will do that every single day. Whereas before, I might go to the park once a week or something like that. But since I've been doing so, it's really affected me. So So give us an example of the sort of things that you do with your clients to kind of help them connect.
So whether it's individual clients or groups, because group work also works out in nature. What I do, so in essence, my office, where a lot of people have an office, which is either a cubicle or this building or whatever, so confined space in which they sit and call their office. My office is the forest, the woodlands, whatever, green outside. And by taking people outside into nature, by taking clients, if you want to call them that, outside into nature and going for a walk. So moving, physically moving, you also get people moving mentally. And that makes it easier for people to talk about what's bugging them or what's nagging them or what's causing pain and troubles and issues in their lives. And so by sort of shortcutting I'm not a therapist, you know, I'm a neuropsychologist by training, but I wouldn't call myself a therapist. By taking people outside and just being there, letting them realize that they are okay and talking to them and listening to them, they open up, share their stories with you and share their true vulnerabilities and issues, instead of like the outside shell most of Western society and pharmaceutical industry and medicine industry is working on. And then you can go to the core of, well, a problem or a challenge way faster, help people way faster, become reconnected with themselves. And from there on, people either individually or in teams, they can reconnect with each other and grow further.
You know what, that's beautiful. And I totally connect with that as well. And I want to ask another question with a link to that. Does that sometimes include, because I also, like, you've got back to nature, it's, for me, it's so huge. You've got the coaching side, but do you also look at herbs and how kind of natural herbs can help? Do you kind of help people with that sort of thing, or maybe advise them? Because the reason that triggered something, when you said, you mentioned the pharmaceutical companies, and sometimes, you know, people tend to use drugs rather than use herbs or go back to the whole idea of foraging, which is great. I mean, I'm a bark flower instructor as well. So, and that was brilliant for me to learn about trees. I learned about trees from the different types of trees and what herbs help me to, you know, when I'm feeling down from an energetic perspective. But do you also dive into that side of things as well? Or is it purely just connecting with, I don't know, tree hugging or anything else?
If people want to hug a tree, that's perfectly fine with me.
Just joking, but
No, it's not a joke. These things work because this is also connection again. I'm not yet specifically trained in all the therapeutical and healing aspects of plants that are there, but I know that they are there. There are other people specialized in that, and I think a lot of healing capabilities of plants are there, but are hiding in plain sight. We don't look at them anymore because we are looking at the pharmaceutical industry and thinking that that is our salvation. Whereas I think that a lot of things that we people see as weeds are actually very could be very helpful. I am not an expert in that field that I advise people, okay, take this herb, take that herb. I've got friends in my network that are specialized in that, so I'm more than happy to refer people to those people if they have specific questions about that. But even the fact of just going outside into a green environment, maybe even taking your shoes off there and walking barefoot, reconnecting there, that is so powerful in itself already that often I don't even have to ask difficult questions or have to refer to a herbologist or somebody with specific knowledge about plants. A lot already happens by going out into nature and reconnecting there, just being there and getting away from that. Yesterday was a bad day and tomorrow will be a bad day again for whatever which reason, and just wasting too much time on being either in the past or in the future, whereas being in the present, connected in nature, just, you know, makes you realize that 9 out of 10 times you're fine in the moment, as long as you can be in the moment. And if you help people to be in the moment more, they start to rebalance again and have more energy and maybe even don't need specific herbs or maybe even medications. I think we take a lot of medicine that we actually wouldn't need if we would be better balanced.
You know what? That's so strong. I love a couple of things that you said. I love earlier when you said that your office is the forest. I think that's just amazing. And then when you were saying the whole
idea. I think
so too. Yeah, that was brilliant.
The best office there is.
Where's your office? Oh, we'll just come to this forest. No, it's brilliant. No, I love it. I love it. And the whole idea of walking barefoot in the forest. And it's so funny. I think the last time I did that was summer myself. And I took this, obviously, because I live in London and we've got the different weather, you know, changes.
Yeah.
But that will lead me on to my next question. Because the last time I kind of walked barefoot or took my shoes off was in the summer in the local park. But generally in the winter, there was no way that I'm going to do that. But I know that you are a Wim Hof coach. And I know that has to do with connecting to that different temperature. So do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because that leads me to the question. Because, I mean, for me, the cold is hard work. I mean, I'm from West Indian back. My parents are West Indians, you know.
Well, I think it doesn't matter from where on the planet you are. I think if you look at it, like we've made ourselves as Homo sapiens, so to say, we've made ourselves lazy. We wear protective layers like clothing and shoes to disconnect us from nature. And whereas we have everything inside of ourselves to be present in nature, also in cold nature. And I also thought, oh man, why would you ever step into an ice bath or into a frozen lake open up to that extreme? But it trains your body by going to those extremes, whether it's extreme heat or extreme cold, by training with those extremities, you train your body to be better balanced in the middle, where we are most of the time. So yes, I also take off my shoes when I walk outside in winter. Actually, I take off more than my shoes. usually, I live in the Netherlands where the weather is not really, really cold, but sometimes fresh. I've walked up mountains wearing nothing but shorts and maybe a t-shirt with -20, -30 degrees Celsius. And that's possible. It might sound really, really extreme. And Wim's method, the Wim Hof method, is all about connecting and all about connecting with your inner nature, with nature. And he does that by helping people with breath work, certain breath work exercises, mindset training, because the largest part of us not living to our fullest potential is mindset to me. And the cold experiences are biologically positive, good for your system. But again, it's also training your mindset, because we from child age on are being trained that cold is negative, that you get sick from being out in the cold. But that's not true. It turns out that being out, challenging your system every now and then with a cold experience actually improves your immune system, your cardiovascular system enormously. So it makes you a more healthy person.
You know what? I find this absolutely brilliant. I love it. So I want to go a little bit deeper in terms of, you said a couple of things there. You said you have to train your mind and train your body to do this. And it'd be great for me to learn how to train my mind to go barefoot in the winter, or to go into an ice, you know, to sit in this ice cool. So I want you to go back a little bit and explain to me, or tell me what it was like the very first time that you kind of allowed yourself to step, obviously with your Wim Hof training, allowed yourself to step into this cold ice bath. So could you take yourself back to that very first time?
Like the first time I ever did anything with cold was cold showering. I started in January 2015 with cold showers, January 1st. New Year's resolutions. I took part in an investigating people that shower cold, and the first 5 days were hell. It was so cold, but looking back, I was fighting. I was fighting something that I didn't have control over, because that cold water, I can't magically turn that into warm water. Yeah, I can turn the tap around, but cold water is cold water, and you can't really control that. You can accept that, and by accepting the fact that it is cold, so that accepting the stressor that is there, the stressor becomes less stressful. We learn to fight stress, but chronic stress, acute stress is good, but chronic stress is not good. Chronic stress kills. And what we do, and cold is a stressor, a very extreme stressor, but for a short period of time, that's fine. If you're in cold like for a too long period of time, you will turn into an ice lolly, obviously. There are physical limitations to your system, but those physical and mental limitations are way further away from what we can think and conceive of. So the first few days were terrible. And then and on day 5 or 6, I got out of the shower, that cold shower in the morning, and I was hot. I was warm. And I thought, whoa, what's this? I stopped fighting the cold.
I want to know a little bit deeper. Tell us about that transition, because, you know, you voluntarily had these cold showers. let's be real. And I want to, because obviously for you now, this is like second nature. But you talking to me about that, I find it fascinating. But I want, even my listeners will probably be listening and think, God, this guy is absolutely crazy. So in regards to the difference of the water. So help us to understand, or help people to understand that have never had that experience, just talk me through what it felt like for you and what gave you the strength to continuously do this, and then to get to that point that you felt hot. Because I find it fascinating that you got to that point that you said by day 5, I think you said, that you actually started to feel warm. Now, I want to know deeply
what's happening there.
A deeper level. Can you explain that to us?
Well, the reason why I started doing this is because by training, I'm a neuropsychologist. I was a neuropsychologist. I was a neuroscientist in science doing scientific research. And I got invited to participate in this scientific research on cold. I don't know why, a universal coincidence, something. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to do this. But then the data needs to be okay, because in science, data is important. So actually, my scientific background motivated me to take this seriously and see whether there was something there. Because I heard about Wim, I saw about him. I was sort of coming back from my burnout period in 2015, and I knew I needed to do things differently in my life in order to survive and live and grow. And this was one of the things that came across my path a couple of times. So I just took it. I started doing it, and due to the fact that I know when you're doing scientific research, you need good, trustworthy data. I decided I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it the right way, which what I didn't know was what was going to happen. The first time I got under that cold shower, it was like needles stinging me, and it was painful, and I cramped up, I panicked, my breath went up real high, real fast. But somehow I thought, no, we need this data. This is important. So just keep on doing it. And I motivated myself to keep on doing it every day. And your body gets used more. By doing it for a minute and a half, 2 minutes each day, your body slowly gets used to the fact that the water is cold and you're not dying underneath that that cold shower. The mental aspect of it, stop fighting that cold, because, you know, I chose for it to be in the cold, and to do to participate in that research led me to just accepting the fact that, okay, it's going to be cold now. Just accept it, be open-minded about it, and see what happens. Sort of as like a kid that does something for the first time. If you're to doing something for the first time, then things
I think that's brilliant, Bart. So I just wanted to cut you there. But I just wanted to kind of reflect on what you're saying. So this is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that you've got great discipline. And I'm hearing that you are truly motivated. So when you're the sort of person that when you put your mind to something, you want to see it through. But obviously for this reason, because of your scientific background, it was almost like a self-discovery research from the data. And I suppose what I was asking when I asked the question on how does it feel, you mentioned the mind. I suppose what I was going to was that whole kind of, was it a spiritual connection? Was there something deeper there? I suppose that is what I was asking when I asked you.
Yeah, at first not. From that at first, to me, it was purely scientific. And something triggered me in the idea of that cold might actually be beneficial for your system. So it was purely scientific. But eventually, yes, it turned out to be a more... that also turned out to be like this energetic, spiritual side to it. So we have the hard biology. Biology books are being rewritten based on the data and the scientific research that's been carried out on the Wim Hof method. That's super cool. and very needed in this world, because we need science to back up the spiritual stuff. People need that, obviously, apparently need that in this society. But to me, it became less and less about the science behind it, but more about the experience. So not measuring is knowing, but feeling is knowing. So feeling is understanding. And I learned to reconnect with my system again, with my body again, through that cold experience. I was present in the now. And that's a very spiritual experience.
Yes.
My mind silenced. And you can have all kinds of biological explanations to it, and they are there. But the fact that, okay, something's happening here with my energy is, it's instead of being low and down, my energy is higher again, and it kept on raising higher. So I felt more alive. And that's not really evidence-based, but more the spiritual side of it. And to me, that has become a more important factor in my life ever since.
You know what, that's really interesting as well. That kind of, like you say, that feeling of knowing and that connection that you have just from going through that process. And that, as you said, that mental, it's kind of a mental fight, and people do this in different ways. I suppose some people will do it through meditation. Some people will do it through exploring their fears, because in some ways it could be, you know, when you explore something that you're frightened of, then that challenges you. And I suppose you exploring the difference in temperature in the body, that is, you know, that's kind of tackling something within you as well, and then you accept that. So I suppose it's a journey. Agree. It's a total journey that you've been under.
Yes.
I want to go
just give me a second before.
So go for it.
Yeah, because what you said is like the fear, and this is very important, because a lot of people, when they are in a situation that produces fear, turn around and run, and don't face that fear. But when you face that fear, on the other side of that fear, there is the biggest learning that you can ever give yourself. It's like, you know, we stay in this comfort zone of warmth and coziness, but we don't learn new things. So sometimes you need to challenge your system, embrace that fear, go beyond and learn something new.
You know what, that's so brilliant. And what I've noticed is sometimes, just with my clients, quite recently, it's funny, we're talking about this, when you go a little bit deeper, sometimes before you get to fear, you kind of get to this whole point of, with some people, defense, where they don't even realize that they're constantly defending themselves, or constantly, you might ask them a question and constantly fighting back. And that's kind of always a bit of a wake up call. There's something not quite right there, because you're always on defense. And then you get to that point that behind what you're defensive about tends to be what you're frightened of, and tends to be the one thing that you're avoiding in your life that you may need to tackle for yourself. So that connects very much with the work that I'm doing quite recently. So that's really interesting that you connect with that. And I suppose you're doing that through nature and through connecting in that sort of way. And because people have fears of different things of nature as well, you know? So I find that fascinating. That's brilliant. I love that part. I do want to go a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
Because you did mention around the time 2015 that you actually went through the burnout. Now, you mentioned it very briefly. You did.
Yeah.
And I love to hear the journey of what somebody has gone through from, you know, the burnout or whatever they've gone through to finding that light, or to finding that so-called job, or the Wim Hof method. Because we don't get into this lightly, do you? No one wakes up and says, I'm going to be a Wim Hof Academy coach. You have to go through the journey, don't you? To get to that point.
That's part of a journey. Long story short, I was working in neuroscience for the largest part of my life, up until the moment that I just couldn't deny all the signals that my body was sending to me, that I was just, you know, trying to juggle around with life, and but wasn't able to keep all the balls up in the air, and balls started falling, and at the beginning you can pick one up and you can keep on juggling, but in the end, to me, it didn't work, and all balls fell. My body pulled the emergency brake. I got sick, and from there I thought, okay, something's not right here. I need to do something. I didn't know what. So I went to the company physician, told him my story, and he said, well, Bart, this is really clear. This is what we call a burnout, and it's good that you're here now and not in 2 months, because you might not have entered then anymore. Maybe on a gurney or something, but not the way you just walked in here. So we're going to do something about that. And I was like, no, I don't have time for this. I've got goals, targets, deadlines, mails to answer, students to please, people to please. And so, no, and I'm a psychologist, you know. I'm trained to observe this and see this coming. And what the hell, you just tell me something that I didn't see coming. Mm. But I also felt like, maybe he's right. Maybe you've got a point, guy. I had this internal feeling then that I just couldn't run away from anymore. I've been sort of dodging balls and signals for a long time. And now it was obvious that I needed to do something. I didn't know what. And then I went back to my boss. I found out that I was actually afraid of speaking up my meaning, my opinion to him. And saying that, hey, you know, it's not working anymore the way it should, according to you or according to the system, I need to change something. And then he said, okay, maybe coaching. Maybe you can be helped by a coach and somebody guiding you back to yourself. And from that point on, I got into this looking back, thankful period of my life in which I had the opportunity to reinvent myself and let go of a lot of bullshit that I was carrying around. And the Wim Hof method is one of the most powerful things that I met in that period of my life and changed my life. So that's why I incorporate it into my life every day.
You know what? I love it. And even when you reflect and you talk back about your burnout and what you went through and the sort of person you are, I don't have time for this. I don't want to. I think that's such a great insight because I started studying the burnout after not realizing that I'd gone through it. Because at the time I was quite similar to you, you know, I was teaching and everything else. And I thought, I've got to keep going. And I didn't actually realize that I'd gone through the burnout. I had no clue until I stopped and I started looking back. And it's interesting you said, you know, that, you know, you thought, okay, I've got all these things to do. I haven't got time for this. I think a lot of people would respond in that way because Western world is, isn't it? We've got things that we feel that we have to do, so much things that we feel that we have to do to make money.
Expectations, you know.
And we forget that simple thing in life, don't we? The simple things in life, or appreciating the nature around us, appreciating the fact that you've got a roof over your head, appreciating the simple things, but it's all that kind of chase, money.
Status, and everybody, like overgeneralizing everybody in this Western world is taking this life as a competition.
Yes,
well, people, exactly. It isn't a competition. You're going to die. This body is going to die at some point.
Yes.
You're not getting out of here alive. So why the hell are you taking it up so competitively, raising up the stakes so high, putting that bar up so high? You know, I don't have any difficulties with people striving to become better at something. That's fine. But the crazy portions we are creating in this society, I think that's not healthy anymore.
Yeah, I'm so with you on that, Barn. I love the fact that you raised it. I love the fact that we're kind of seeing it within your journey and even you being so honest with your journey and your transition as well, from looking back at yourself and seeing that you were, you know, the fact that you went through the burnout was because you are got to do that. So
I needed that burnout, moment, obviously.
Exactly. When was that moment that you realized, gosh, how beautiful is this tree? Or got that whole transition
it's good. It's nice because you talked about the tree next door being cut down, and actually one of the first questions the lady who coached me, whom I'm eternally grateful for that she turned up in my life, one of the first questions she asked was like, when was the last time you sat down? Because you're telling me that you like nature, but I don't see it. So when was the last time you sat down in front of a tree and just, you know, looked at that tree for 5 minutes or 10 minutes without doing anything else? And I was like, I don't know, maybe 30 years ago or something. that's when she started reintroducing me to like all the beauty that is there, that is right in front of us, hiding in plain sight, that we just need to open our eyes to and see and soak in again. That's when it sort of started becoming clear to me that there is so much beauty in this present moment, and we are good enough, you know, all of us, we are good enough. No matter what situation you're in, you are good enough, you belong, you deserve to be here. And this society just doesn't focus on that. It's just, no, tomorrow will be better. Go there, go higher, faster, deeper, whatever. No, just be, you know, be here now.
I love
that. That's good.
Just be. And you know what came to me as you were just talking there? I was just visualizing you looking at that tree. Do you remember what that tree was, that the first tree you actually stood and you said, have you looked at a tree? What was that first tree? Or if you can't remember, maybe you can answer it as if, what is your favorite tree?
Well, I don't really have a favorite tree.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No. Sometimes people say, yeah, I love oak trees, but you know, I love every tree. Because they're beautiful. They're a network of organisms working together to keep this planet alive, because they are producing the air we inhale, and the oxygen we inhale, they produce that. So we are intertwined, interconnected with each other. So I love all trees.
You know what? That's really interesting, because I kind of feel differently, because I'm similar. I like oak trees. I also like willow trees. But I think that the reason I answer that question is because I've noticed myself. Because trees are very different. And for example, you've also got the beech tree. The beech trees tend to grow together, and it's almost like a reunion. But the energies of trees are different. And I think that's what I'm fascinated with. That's why I asked the questions. It's interesting. What's your favorite tree? Because for me, oak trees have a different energy, and I kind of see them like the storytelling tree. That's just me, as probably my drama side, looking at it from a different perspective. And I look at the willow tree as quite a love tree, because it's the way that it drapes and the way that it falls. Mm-hmm. So it's probably, for me, it's looking at the trees. So when I say favorite tree, I feel it's more about the characters of the trees. Do you get that with trees? Do you feel different energies of trees?
There is like different energies between pine trees and what's the word for it in English? The trees that lose their leaves in winter. There are different energies there. It's just that I don't have a favorite type of tree.
That's fine. It's okay,
but
I'll accept that.
Thank you.
They just came to my mind.
Because
I do, but I love the fact that you said that we're all connected, because we are all connected. But I just wanted to see if anyone like me felt the differences, because sometimes people think you're absolutely mad, but actually, no, I look at them in that, the characters of the trees, and see the differences. So that's really lovely.
You know, there are books being written about trees and the secret life of trees, the way they connect with the mycelium and the fungi that grow underground, because we only look at trees as, you know, these things with leaves and stuff, but on the underside, underneath, under the earth, there is the same amount of connection and energy and information transfer going on. So it's one big thing.
It is. It is. In some extent, you know what I found really fascinating? I found something about, I love sunflowers. They're one of my favorite flowers. And somebody was, I don't know what they were doing. They were actually doing an audio of the sunflower and listening to the sunflowers. They were recording the sound of the tree and actually trying to speak. It was fascinating. So some people, like you say, were doing some really fascinating things. I'll have to send you a link about the sunflowers. But
I found that absolutely
fascinating. But yeah,
there is
nature
so much
is
knowledge
so powerful.
Out there. Indeed, there is so much knowledge out there that we are just not using anymore to our and the bigger thing advantage. It's just that we have grown accustomed to the fact that we Google everything, while there is this world, this wood wide web out there with lots of information that we can all learn from as well. It's just we don't look at it anymore.
Brilliant. You know what? I thought to myself, I've just got a couple more minutes with you. And before you go, I thought I cannot talk to a Back to Nature coach without mentioning Extinct Rebellion. Yeah. And then because they're basically, you know, about the climate change. What are your thoughts on just the world and what's happening now with regards to and that company, Extinct Rebellion, and what's going on there? What are your thoughts there?
In general, I think we are creating so much disbalance in this world, not only in the mental aspect, but also in the consumerism and the way we are mistreating the place we live. We have inherited from our ancestors, and we will give on to our kids. So we need to stop creating this disbalance within ourselves and between ourselves and with nature. So as we don't control that much outside of ourselves. So if we work on inside balance, then the balance between people and the balance between groups of people and the balance in the world will also increase again. And that will only happen if we can let go of ego and consumerism step by step, and just creating a connection again, working together instead of against each other.
No, I love that. I love that. No, because I was just thinking about what your feelings may be on, for example, Australia, the Antarctica, everything that's kind of going on in the world, and the change within the last, even in the last 20 years, a major change with the climate change.
I think we need to open our eyes to that, and I think it is time for a change, as I was saying, and everybody should do it in their own way. But if we all contribute, either through like organizations like Extinction Rebellion or Sea Shepherd, Greenpeace, whatever kind of organization, you can team up there and work together on something. But you can also do things for yourself, like split rubbish and use less plastics, small things, and all those small things combined will make big changes.
Yeah, no, you're right. It does start from you, doesn't it? Because some people may be talking about or shouting about nature, but not actually doing the right thing from at home. Like you say, the recycling that you can do, the simple things at home. You know,
you can do a lot of things yourself.
Planting more trees in your back garden.
For
example.
Instead of chopping them.
I'm having a bit of a hit there, but it's really, really lovely talking to you. And is there any quote, anything you want to leave us with before you go today?
Well, I think like my mentor and friend Wim Hof says, we are enlightened as human beings. We look for enlightenment, but we only need to go inside to see that we are enlightened and that we have everything inside of ourselves to live a happy, healthy and strong life. And if we are just opening up to being more vulnerable and being open about what's keeping us, what's bugging us in life, and connecting, so embracing fear and going beyond to learn something new on the other side, then we make this world a more beautiful place.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Bart. And I just want to say, from Tanya the Communication Doctor and Bart Skoltersen, adios. Mm. My takeaways from talking to Bart was the beauty, just to appreciate the beauty of nature. I love the fact that Bart's office is in a forest and that he gets people to move. And by moving, they're also moving mentally. I think that's how he explained it. And the other thing that I really enjoyed about the interview with Bart was that he helps people to be in the movement so they can find the balance to help themselves. And the last thing I want to take away, which I thought was a great takeaway from this, was that life is not a competition. Life is a journey. And if we look deep inside ourselves, we are already enlightened beings. For me, that was a huge takeaway. So from Tanya the Communication Doctor, I just want to say adios.